This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Minutes after a 24-hour ban ended, West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee said on Tuesday that efforts are on to stop her from campaigning and asserted she is a street fighter and won't be cowed down by the intimidation tactics of the BJP. Banerjee, who earlier in the day had conducted a 3.5-hour long dharna against the EC's decision to prohibit her for campaigning for 24 hours, said the people of the state would take a call on stopping her from campaigning, whereas the Saffron Party leaders can campaign. BJP can campaign and I am not allowed to campaign. I will not say anything. People of Bengal will take a call on it. They are watching everything, she said while addressing a rally, asserting that she has been a street fighter and won't be cowed down by such intimidation tactics of the Saffron camp. The feisty TMC boss said efforts are on by the BJP and its agencies to stop her from campaigning. The BJP wants to stop me from campaigning as they have sensed defeat, she said. The Election Commission had barred Banerjee from campaigning for 24 hours from Monday 8 p.m. for her remarks against the Central Forces and a statement which had alleged religious overtones. The Biden administration, in a fresh submission before a U.S. court, has reiterated its support to India's request for the extradition of Pakistani-origin Canadian businessman Tahavur Rana, who is sought for his involvement in the 2008 Mumbai terror attack. U.S. District Court judge in Los Angeles, Jacqueline Choligian, on Monday received the latest set of submissions from the U.S. government attorney in the case. The judge has scheduled an in-person extradition hearing of Rana to India for June 24. In the submission, along with an attached memorandum, Assistant U.S. Attorney John J. Luljian made a declaration in support of the United States' surrebuttal in support of its request for certification of extradition. Luljian reiterated that 59-year-old Rana's extradition to India is as per the India-U.S. Extradition Treaty. As per the India-U.S. Extradition Treaty, the Indian government has requested the formal extradition of Rana, and the United States has initiated this extradition proceeding. The U.S. government has argued that Rana meets all the criteria warranting certification of his extradition to India. These are: the court has both personal and subject matter jurisdiction. There is an extradition treaty between the United States and India that is in full force and effect, and the crimes for which Rana's extradition is sought are covered by the terms of the treaty. The United States respectfully requests the certification of Rana's extradition to India for the Secretary of State's decision on his surrender, he said. The extradition request contains sufficient evidence to establish probable cause, and Rana has not pointed to any evidence in the record that obliterates India's presentation of probable cause, he said. Luljian said that to the extent Rana relies on a statement made during David Coleman Headley's plea hearing, his reliance is improper because the plea agreement itself says that only the written agreement controls. Moreover, the statement upon which Rana relies is ambiguous at best, he said. In his submission, the U.S. attorney noted that the premise of Rana's argument is incorrect because the Indian substantive charges are not considered lesser included offenses of the conspiracy charges. Rana, a childhood friend of Headley, was rearrested on June 10 in Los Angeles on an extradition request by India for his involvement in the Mumbai terror attack in which 166 people, including 6 Americans, were killed. He has been declared a fugitive by India. Pakistani-American Lashkar-e-Taiba terrorist Headley was involved in plotting the 2008 Mumbai terror attack. He was made an approver in the case and is currently serving a 35-year He was made an approver in the case and is currently serving a 35-year prison term in the U.S. for his role in the attack. Daydreamer's fantasy. Seeing this, the Punjab and Haryana High Court dismissed a plea by a woman claiming Prince Harry broke a promise to marry her. I find that this petition is nothing but just a daydreamer's fantasy about marrying Prince Harry, observed the High Court. In her petition, the woman had claimed that she has had conversations with the prince over social media and he has promised to marry her. She also pleaded that an arrest warrant be issued against the Duke of Sussex so that no further delay occurs in their marriage, while seeking directions for the United Kingdom police to take action against him. The woman has never travelled to the UK and was making the claim based on social media conversations. The petitioner also presented some printouts of the alleged conversations between the two. The court, however, noted the same were not true copies, as some portion had been deleted or erased. The court observed, "This petition, though very poorly drafted, both grammatically and lacking the knowledge of pleadings, speaks about some emails between the petitioner and Prince Harry, in which the person sending the email has stated that he promises to marry soon." The court observed that there was a possibility that she had conversations with fake IDs on social media, and the same cannot be relied upon by the court. There is every possibility that so-called Prince Harry may be sitting in a cyber cafe of a village in Punjab, looking for greener pastures for himself, the Punjab and Haryana High Court said. Kolkata Knight Riders managed to lose its bearings in an astonishing manner as Mumbai Indians spinners Rahul Chahar and Krunal Pandya fashioned an improbable 10-run victory in an IPL encounter on Tuesday. Chasing a target of 153, KKR were on course, reaching 122 for 4 in the 15th over, before the last 5 fetched only 20 runs as they stunningly fell short, giving defending champions their first win. Krunal, 1 for 13 in 4 overs, and Chahar, 4 for 27 in 4 overs, were brilliant in checking the run flow after a 72-run opening stand between Nitish Rana, who got 57 of 47 balls, and Shubman Gill, 33 of 24 balls. But it was Jasprit Bumrah, 0 for 28, and Trent Bolt, 2 for 27, who were magnificent at the death, keeping Andre Russell and Dinesh Karthik under checks in a game that will be talked about for years to come, especially how KKR capitulated. Required to show some sensible approach, it was harakiri of sorts by KKR batting unit as they were restricted to 142 for 7. To continue their miserable record with MI, they now have 22 losses against 6 wins over MI. Just when KKR needed to play it sensibly with a required run rate under 7, they seemed to commit harakiri and lost another in Shakib, this time Krunal Pandya joining in the party for MI. Krunal bowled an exceptional 18th over, giving away just 3 runs as the duo of Dinesh Karthik and Andre Russell struggled to get going before Bumrah applied more pressure in the penultimate over. Needing 15 from the last over, it was a tough ask for KKR, and Trent Bolt dismissed Russell and Pat Cummins in successive balls to seal the issue. Earlier, Andre Russell did a star turn, coming to bowl in the 18th over, as his career-best 5 for 15 helped Kolkata Knight Riders blow out Mumbai Indians for 152. Opting to bowl, Owen Morgan's astute captaincy was on full display as he used his resources to perfection to choke MI in the middle overs after Surya Kumar Yadav threatened to seize control with his 36-ball 56. The World Cup-winning England skipper used Pat Cummins cleverly in the middle overs as the Aussie returned with 2 for 24. But the master stroke was certainly keeping Russell for the fag end as MI lost the last 7 wickets for 37 runs. Russell was brought in only after Cummins finished his spell in the 16th over, as the Jamaican used the platform to perfection by dismissing Krunal Pandya, Jasprit Bumrah and Rahul Chahar in the final 4 balls en route to his milestone. But it was Shakib Ul Hasan who deserves equal credit for stopping the run flow, as the Bangladesh left-arm spinner dismissed Surya Kumar in the 11th over and changed the complexion of the innings. Surya Kumar was in the midst of a belter of an innings, smashing 2 sixes and 7 fours to lift them from a sluggish start, as MI looked in balance with 81 for 1 at the midway stage. He was on a roll against Prasidh Krishna, creaming the seamer for a 6 and followed it up for successive boundaries. Suryakumar then launched into Pat Cummins for a 99-meter maximum that landed on the Chepauk roof to cruise to a 33-ball 50, his 12th in IPL. Before he could make it big, he holed out a skyer to Shubman Gill at long on. And off the next ball, Cummins laid a perfect trap for Ishan Kishan with a bouncer which the diminutive left-hander pulled straight to the square-leg fielder. As Prasidh leaked runs, the spin duo of Varun and Shakib managed to keep the duo of Rohit and Hardik quiet in the middle overs as they scored only 33 runs from 10 to 15 overs. Looking for a breakthrough, Morgan once again brought in his pace spearhead Cummins, who lived up to his expectation, cleaning up Rohit with an off-cutter, and in the next over, Prasidh dismissed Hardik to break MI's backbone. Right everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe and have a very good day.
Views and investment tips expressed by investment experts on moneycontrol.com are their own and not that of the website or its management. Moneycontrol.com advises users to check with certified experts before taking any investment decisions.